Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janabala Bhagirvardhari Gopi Janabala Bhagirvardhari Yasodhanandana Brajjana Ranjana Yasodhanandana Brajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Vanachari Jamona Tera Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Gevardhari Yasodhanandana Brajjana Ranjana Yasodhanandana Brajjana Ranjana Jamona Tera Vanachari Jamona Tera Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharyam Astotra Sakat Sissima Desavangris Iskon Pad Acharya Srila Abhasha Navinda Bhakta Vedanta Swami Paramahamsa Ki Jaya. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharyam Astotra Sakat Sissima Desavangris Srila Bhakta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Paramahamsa Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnavi Ninki Jai Namacharya Sila Haridasa Kuru Ki Jai Pram Si Kahao Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadara Si Vasadi Si Gora Bhakta Vini Ki Jai Si Si Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Siamakunda Radha Kunda Girigupadham Ki Jai Srivindavan Dham Ki Jai Simatura Dham Ki Jai Semayabha Navadvip Dham Ki, Jaganapuri Dham Ki, Gangamai Jamunamai Ki, Samiti Tulsi Devi Bhakta Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vena Ki, Nitai Gur Premanandi. All glories to the sum of devotees, all glories to the sum of devotees, all glories to the sum of devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru and Guranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narutamam divim sarasvati jatsat tapto jaya mudirai nasta prayesa bhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamasloke bhakti bhavaiti naistiki. So Srimad Bhagavata, continuation of Canto 10, Chapter 7. Today's text is 1.9.19. Bhoma nidaya tam gopi Bismita bharapidita Mahapurusa Mahapurusa ada Mahapurusa Madhadhyo Jagatam Asakamasu Bhomanidayatam Gopi Vismita Bharapidita Mahapurusa Madhabhya Jagatam Asakamasu Bhomanidayatam Gopi Vismita Bharapidita Mahapurusa Madhabhya Jagatam Asakamasu.
Messages.
word for word translation. Bhumau, on the ground. Nidaya, placing. Tam, the child. Gopi, mother Yasoda. Bismita, being astonished. Bharapidita, being aggrieved by the weight of the child. Mahapurusam, Lord Vishnu Narayan. Adadya, took shelter of. Jagatam, as if the weight of the whole world. Asa, engaged herself. Kamasu, in other household affairs. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother Yasoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing the disturbances, she called for the brahmanas to counteract this heaviness, and then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. Please kindly respond, repeat. Feeling the child to be as heavy as the entire universe, and therefore being anxious, thinking that perhaps the child was being attacked by some other ghost or demon, the astonished mother Yasoda put the child down on the ground and began to think of Narayan. Foreseeing disturbances, she called for the brahmanas to counteract this heaviness. And then she engaged in her other household affairs. She had no alternative than to remember the lotus feet of Narayan, for she could not understand that Krishna was the original source of everything. But Mother Yasoda did not understand that Krishna is the heaviest of all heavy things, and that Krishna rests within everything. Mastani Sarvabhutani, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:4. Mayatam Edam Sarvam Jagat Avyatamutina. Krishna is everywhere in his impersonal form, and everything rests upon him. Nonetheless, Nachaham Teshu Awastibi Awastitaha. Krishna is not everywhere. Mother Yasoda was unable to understand this philosophy because she was dealing with Krishna as his real mother by the arrangement of Yogamaya. Not understanding the importance of Krishna, she could only seek shelter of Narayan for Krishna's safety and call the brahmanas to counteract the situation. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyana Jana Salakaya Saksud Militam Jena Tismai Si Guru Vedamaha Sichetayam Anobhistam Safetam Jena Bhutali Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Vedati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatari Vyacha Kripa Sundhya Evacha Tatitanam Pavan Vashnamonama Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutali Simati Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamana Namaste, Sarasati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharini, Nirvisista, Sanyavadi, Pachati, Adisatarini. So we're continuing our discussions on the killing of the demon Tinavata. Now, here in this very text, Lord Krishna begins to exhibit his abistic potency by assuming the weight of the universe. Of course, Lord Krishna, the universe is an emanation from Krishna. And here it is mentioned that he became so heavy as the universe. Now keep in mind, Rupa Goswami had mentioned in the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu, Atta Sri Krishna Namadi, Abhava Graham Indriya. You know, with our material senses, it is very difficult for us to have a real perception, to understand, to properly evaluate, you know, what Krishna can really do. Even to understand his pastimes could be such a difficult thing for us. But again, the recommendation is given by same Rupa Goswami, Seva Mukhe Hijivadu. If we can begin doing something with our tongue, the whole devotional culture begins with the tongue. And the tongue, all the senses basically have one function. The tongue is bifunctional. It has two functions. The tongue could be used for, you know, vocalization, and the tongue also could be used for munching, for eating. But in either case, if we abuse the function of the tongue, it could be very disastrous. Therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends that if we engage in devotional service, beginning with the tongue, then we could have proper understanding, at least to some degree, of the potencies of Lord Krishna. Why Krishna does what he does. How he does what he does. Even for the pure devotee, Vaishnavara Kriya Muda Navigi Puja, it is very difficult to understand why a pure devotee does what he does, how he does what he does. So what about Krishna himself? If his servants is even so difficult for us to understand, what about the master? When Krishna was describing his potencies to Arjuna in the Gita, he told him, look, what good is there for this detailed information, for this detailed knowledge, when just with a figment of myself, I pervade the entire universe. So it is a mystery. And that is why in some religious traditions they say God cannot be understood. You cannot know God. He's so vast and we are so teeny, so we can't know him. And that is true to some degree, but Krishna reveals himself to anyone based on the quality of one's devotion. So here, even Mother Yasoda is covered by the Yoga Maya. The conditioned souls are covered by Mahamaya, whereby, you know, it's like a veil. They become separated from divinity. But for the pure devotee, Krishna also still covers them. Why? Because if he doesn't cover them, for instance, Mother Yasoda wouldn't be able to relish the pastimes of having Krishna as a child to take care of him. It would be all a thing based on, you know, awe and reverence. And Krishna doesn't want that type of, you know, that type of worship. And so here, Krishna was already in focus about the coming of Trinavata. And so at this time, he assumed a heavy weight. And Mother Yasoda couldn't bear it. So he just, you know, put him down. And that was like an open invitation for Trinavata to come down, to come around. And, you know, pick up Krishna. But it's It's all a joke. When people tend to think that, you know, they have power to destroy even the Supreme Lord. When every power is actually coming from the Supreme. I remember in the episode of Prahlad and his demonic father, when his father tried to kill him several ways and he couldn't succeed, so he asked him, "But come on, where did you get this power?" And Prahlad said, "I got a power, the same source you got yours. The same source." So Krishna's powers are unlimited. Parashya Shakti, Vividaiva Sruyati. We can quantify Krishna's potencies. And therefore, even Lord Brahma mentions that we can't really understand Krishna. We can't really figure out his length and breadth. Except we become purified in consciousness. Then Krishna will reveal himself to us according to our loving devotion to him. And this is exactly what happens. I witnessed a case when someone was dying in a hospital. And he had a number of children. That was in Nigeria. A number of children. He was a very rich man. He has already written his will, but there are some part of his resources that were not actually included in the will. He was waiting for the last time who will really show that love. And he will show that fellow everything. He will show that child everything. So I was witnessing how this guy, in his last days on his deathbed, you know, his children would come to visit him. But there was one of these kids, he wouldn't leave the father. He was there 24 hours of the day. Taking care, a boy, taking care of the father. When people are in the suffering mode, even their loved ones abandon them. But the boy was around. He was there taking care of the father. And at some point in time, I think the man probably knew that he was going to pass away very soon. And I could see him. He was telling this boy, "Look at this. Go to that room. There's a drawer there. Or pull the drawer. You see a checkbook here. You see this here. You see this here. You take that for yourself. And bring this paper. Let me just sign a document for you. And that's all for you." He already written his will for all other members of the family or all the other children. But here, he's seen someone who really cares for him at the time of need. He felt, "This boy really loves me." So then he revealed some of his opulence to him. He showed him some of his mercy. So if some ordinary conditioned soul will have this type of mindset, then we should not be surprised when Krishna says, "Ye yatam mam prapadyante tam tataiva bhajamyaham." As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So even with our devotion, well, yes, seva mukha hi jivado, but again, it boils down to quality. The quality of our devotion will determine how Krishna reveals himself to us. So the basic point is that it is very difficult to understand Krishna. But, yes, Atta Sri Krishna Nama Adi, na Baba Griham Indriya. Yes, it's true. But why does Krishna have to, display all this type of mystical potencies, these pastimes? Why does he have to do this? To increase our faith, because, we are living in an age that is based on seeing is believing. We want to see things, and sometimes even after seeing the things, we don't believe. Pashyana pina pashyati. Not just seeing, even after experiencing the things, we don't still believe. So the whole idea of Krishna enacting this type of wonderful pastimes is to help us deepen our faith in him. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any need for, you know, this type of pastimes. So here, Krishna allowed himself to be carried by Trinavarta. And the demon was thinking, oh, my this is a successful trip. They say mission accomplished, but it wasn't accomplished yet. He was just happy that this is a successful trip. I've gotten him. Let me deal with him. But you know, Krishna, he's a very trickish boy. He could bewilder anyone to think that, oh, I've gotten him, and now I will inflict any type of punishment. Let me infringe on him, whatever I will want to do. I will repay for all of this nonsense that he did to my brothers and sisters, my colleagues. You know, people have this mentality, revenge. Do you know what actually came on the other of Kamsa? Because Krishna has killed, you know, Putana and all this stuff. So the point is, we may say, well, we're not demons. Yes, it's true. But if we understand demonic tendencies, the proclivities of the demonic mindset, in the Bhagavad Gita, like, you know, Krishna mentions about even the proclivity for enjoyment is demoniac. Aham bhogi sidoham balavan sukhi. I am the enjoyer. I'm very powerful. I have, you know, I have mystic city. I can change things back and forth. To have this type of mindset, Ishwaroham, I am the controller. Krishna says in the Gita that these are all phenomenological mindset. In other words, they are demoniac tendencies. So inasmuch as the demons are concerned, and of course, all of us, we have this type of tendency to some degree, and the more we become purified, you know, this tendency, they disappear in our lives. But ordinarily speaking, everybody out there wants to control. He wants to become an Ishwara. They can't control themselves, but they want to become Ishwara of the whole world. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, you want to become an Ishwara of the whole world? It's a simple formula, mathematical formula. Rupa Goswami gives a very simple mathematical formula. And what is that formula that Rupa Goswami gives? Huh? Yeah. He gave a very simple formula. You want to control the world? No problem. But this is how to go about it. Just control yourself. First, control yourself. But yourself includes, you know, all your sensory modalities, including the mind, emotions like anger. These are the things that are degrading human society. But the same people who are, you know, who want to rule the whole world, they are not able to rule themselves. So it becomes a big problem. The demons, they want to rule everyone else, but, you know, they can't even rule themselves. They're very much prone to anger. They don't control their minds. They don't control their sensory modalities. But they want to control the whole world. So it's ironical. It doesn't work in that way. And therefore, if we understand in principle that Krishna is the Yogeshwara, he is the supreme controller of all mystic potencies, then we should simply understand our position to be very subservient to him. And like in this verse, you see, there's something very intriguing here. Now, Mother Yasoda, she is the mother of Lord Krishna. Yet Krishna covered her up with yoga maya. And now she is facing some challenges. But what did she do? It's, again, this is very good for us. It's not because, okay, I've been a devotee for 40 years, 50 years. I'm not supposed to have any challenges. Mother Yasoda, Krishna took birth right in our house, carrying baby Krishna, feeding him every day, taking good care of him. Yet she was exposed to challenges. What could be a greater challenge when you see that your child, your beloved child, is showing some abnormal symptoms? All of a sudden your child becomes terribly heavy. She didn't call for the hospital. She didn't call for 911 or for the police. But she rang Narayan. She dialed Narayan on the phone. And of course, she invited the Brahmanas to come and, make some special prayers. This is the Vedic tradition. When people face challenges, they resort to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. They don't take shelter of their minds and their senses. Nowadays, even in the hospitals, in the clinics, so in some clinics, when you go, they write clearly, "We care, God heals." In other words, people, even the doctors, they understand their deficiency, that because they've seen people that, they said they really will take care of, and the people die. And they've also seen people that they've condemned to death. They've tagged them, "Oh, this is all over." And there are some cases where such people miraculously, recover. So again, the concept of life and death is not in anyone's hand. It's in Krishna's hand. If Krishna wants to kill anybody, he can kill a person. If Krishna wants to keep someone alive, he can, allow that person to be alive even for, more several years. Mare Krishna Rakake, Rakke Krishna Marake. If Krishna wants to kill, no one can save. And so if we know of someone who has all of these powers, every power is coming from him, what is holding us from taking shelter of that very source of all powers? If we are not doing that, it simply implies that this is basically due primarily to weakness of heart. And so by hearing these pastimes, these are meant to stimulate us to be able to develop deeper faith in the Lord. Because even the powerful demons, the Lord annihilates them. We want to associate, we want to make friends with people who are very powerful. People that, if even we commit a crime, we can call them and then they will call the police and say, "Hey, come on, hold it. I know him. I'm coming to see you." We don't want to make friends with people who cannot really help us, who cannot save us. A pauper may not even have friends. Even his family members will say, I don't know him. But the very rich person, the opulent person, everybody says, "He's my brother, he's my cousin, he's my aunt, this and, everybody claims he's part of my family." It's natural. It's natural. Therefore, Krishna is showing us his potencies, his power, so that, we can have that desire to at least take shelter of him. So it is important for us to learn from these incidents, like we have in the case of Draupadi. She was struggling by herself to be able to protect herself, but, to no avail. It was not successful. But, when she said unto Krishna, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda," she had unlimited sari. Krishna appeared in the form of ornamental sari to protect him. So these things should not just be some, you know, folk tales. It shouldn't be like a mythological stuff. The real events, the real historical events. Krishna enacted these pastimes. And what are we doing about it? We just listen here and it goes away this way and that's all? No faith? No, we have to develop some faith in Krishna. Because this is very essential for our devotional growth. And what basically facilitates this faith is constantly hearing about these pastimes. Because if even, I mean, it's like we have a modern day subliminal advertising. Even the things you don't like to buy, if you hear them being advertised on the TV all the time, it creates an impression on your mind, and you begin to think, I think it's good to try it. Why is it recommended that we have to constantly hear this amazing pastimes? Because for ordinary mundane things, they act as an impression on the mind. In other words, we are forced to go according or to act in the way that things are advertised. What about spiritual articles, spiritual goods, spiritual products? We hear them being advertised. Whether we like it or not, we get glued to it. That is why the Sastra recommends we have to constantly hear the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And so we shouldn't think, well, I've had so much, so I have to go and break. I don't need to go to the Bhagavatam class anymore. I don't need to listen to Prabhupada classes anymore because, you know, I've been hearing all 40 years ago and now it is time for business. Time to be busy making money. No, we could be busy making money, but we could still integrate hearing from the scriptures in our own daily activities. Of course, we should admit that it's not easy to do that type of integration. In mathematics, there is a section that is called calculus. In calculus, one of the most difficult aspects of calculus is integration. When it comes to integration, students leave the class. Even the most intelligent students, some of them will leave the class because it's so difficult. And therefore, if someone tells you to integrate secular activities with devotion, it's not difficult, then the person perhaps has not tried it. It is difficult. But being difficult does not mean it's not possible. It is possible. And so many people have been doing that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a typical example. He had 10 children. He was a judge. And at the same time, he was the president, he was the head of the Puri temple, Jagannath Puri temple. So here he's integrating, his maintenance of his household, his secular job, his management position at the temple, and he has his private sadhana to deal with. At the same time, he has to write so many books. So there are so many examples that are in our scriptures, and it is essential for us to take a cue from these very personalities who have taught us by their own examples. It is not an impossible task. For instance, this is basically a community of householders. So someone may say, well, I send my wife to the temple and I'm busy, I don't have time to chant mala. My wife can chant for me because she has to stay at home. Nobody chants for anybody. No, this is, it's like you eat. Have you seen anybody eat for someone? Even your most beloved, you know, you don't eat for her or you don't eat for him. Everybody has to eat to be able to become satisfied, to feel his belly, to have become energized. Krishna consciousness is also like that. You can't delegate, you know, chanting to someone. Or you can't even delegate your seva to someone. If you say, well, go and do this service for me, I'm very busy. He will do this service, but you don't get the credit. He gets the credit. You are giving him a chance to elevate himself. It's not that, okay, you do it for me. It's not like, you know, the job in the office. Okay, you can ask someone to fit in for you, and you get a salary at the end of the month. Krishna consciousness is not like that. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. That, you know, you can't play pranks with Krishna. Therefore, it is important for us to understand that if even we have challenges, we should take shelter of Krishna. We should follow the footsteps of Mother Yasoda. Here she is facing some challenges, but, you know, she took shelter of Lord Krishna. She took shelter of Narayan. She was covered by the yoga maya, thinking, you know, Krishna is just my little boy. Now, but, you know, there's some trouble. Let me call the brahmanas to come and make some prayers. And, you know, let me pray to Lord Narayan. She did not go outside of divinity. She did not go outside of divine shelter, despite the challenges that she faced. For us, we have some problems. We abandon Krishna consciousness, which is due to lack of deep faith. Hare Krishna. I have some comments and some questions on this point. Yes.
Very nice class, Maharaj. So let us say someone is sick.
Yes.
He has to see the doctor, but you would recommend that he just pray to the deities, or he go and
that's a nice point.
Take care,
that's
take
a
care
nice point.
Of the,
stop there. I understand your point. Okay, thank you. Now, it is very wrong for us to tell someone. It's okay, for instance, you know, your child comes to you and tells you, Daddy, I have headache. Chant Hare Krishna. The child may not have that type of faith, okay? And of course, there are even devoted doctors. What's wrong in, you know, calling for the devoted doctor to... That is why Krishna, you know, provides us with all of these facilities. There are devotees who are in different professions. So that's not what I mean, that, you know, someone is ill and then you say, oh, well, you know, you just pray to Krishna. The understanding is that even Krishna is even the healing herb. So suppose you want to meet some herbalist or naturopathic doctor or even a medical doctor. The medical doctors also, they know that they are not the ones healing. They are only acting as a medium to take care of people. But the healing power is coming from God. So when we are doing something, we should understand the ultimate power that has sanctioned that very project to become mature or to fructify. If we get healed, if we get cured, I mean, through some medication, we should also understand that Krishna is the source of that medication. And ultimately, the praises should go to Krishna. Yes. We should thank Krishna for healing us. He's used someone, some doctor. Okay, for instance, someone is having some heart problem, or there is some heart transplant, or even any ailment. We should not sit back and say, well, I just pray to Krishna and everything will be all right. We don't have that type of strong faith. So we should
Prabhupada says, utility is the principle. We should make do with what is valuable to be able to keep moving on. Otherwise, why are we putting on, you know, these duties and kupis? We could say, we are not a body, you know. We just become Nanga Babas. These are material facilities, but the same material facilities could be used in Krishna service. So the same material skills could also be used in helping people to be able to become stabilized in their health in their healthcare needs, to keep moving on in their devotional service. So it would be improper for someone to just be lying down on the bed instead of taking maybe just one tablet to cure himself of the headache, and then you just lie down on bed for 2 or 3 days waiting for the headache to go naturally. And then you waste your time that you're supposed to use in doing service for Krishna. So we should apply the principle of utility. Whatever that is going to allow us to prosecute our Krishna consciousness, to perform our Krishna consciousness, we should use it. But that is not to say that, you know, we pick everything and anything all in the name of, you know, utility is a principle. Because then we could become entangled in some ways. So we should look for what is most expedient to be able to help us to move on. Yeah.
That Mother Yashoda did do very perfect, that she did close her eye. In 37 text it says she closed her eye because she wanted to meditate, by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commented, on lotus feet of Narayan. But that's not what she did only. She immediately called the Brahmanas. So we depend on Krishna and call 911 if there is emergency, or call the doctor, both.
That's a nice point, thank you. That buttresses the point. So, thank you very much. Thank you. All right. So, the class is supposed to end at 8:45. We're already 4 minutes ahead of time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.